From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Most beauty pageants promote a fantasy of the ideal woman. But for 35 years, one contest in New York City celebrated the everyday working girl. Starting in 1941 and lasting until 1976, the young woman chosen to be that month's Miss Subways gazed down on transit riders. Her photo on posters was accompanied by a short bio detailing her hopes, dreams, and aspirations.
The public chose the winners, and Miss Subways was a barometer of changing times. It was one of the first, perhaps the first, integrated beauty contest in America. There was a black Miss Subways in 1948, more than 30 years before an African-American was crowned Miss America. By the 1950s, Miss Subways winners were black, white, Latino, Asian, and Jewish, the faces of New York's female commuters. Here's their story, as produced by Samara Freemark of Radio Diaries.
Every month, some lucky little New York miss is chosen from the thousands of girls who ride the subways. She's got to be brilliant, beautiful, talented. Just an average girl.
You did not get on a train in New York in those years and not look up at Miss Subways. When you looked up at Miss Subways, you were looking at a star, no question about it. My name is Peggy Byrne. I was a secretary. And I was Miss Subways March and April 1952.
My name is Sonora Selsey. I was a teacher. And Miss Subways, 1964.
My name is Enid Schwartzbaum. I was a daily commuter going to college, and I was Miss Subways in July of 1946.
My name is Marcia Hawker, and I was Miss Subways in 1974. I worked in the garment district, but I wanted to go into acting, and so I sent in a headshot, and that's how it got started.
Here's how it worked. The New York Subway Advertising Agency would get something like 1,000 photos in a couple of months, and they would select out of that 25 to be photographed by John Robert Powers, the number one modeling agency in the country.
And the public was to send in postcards voting for the one that they wanted to see as the next Miss Subways. The mail would come in, and they would take a ruler and they count an inch equals so many postcards.
We bought a stack of postcards. My mother had a stack at the reception desk at Loomskill. My dad had it at the 109 precinct. My brother had it at his desk at the bank. People signed them and we dropped them in the mailbox, kind of like launching a campaign.
Somewhere along the line, it occurred to me that I had never seen a clearly ethnic name on that poster. My name was distinctively Jewish, and that might have been part of the reason I said, I'm going to give this a shot. Let's see what happens. In July of 1946, Enid Berkowitz splashed across the subways.
Greetings from the New York subway. We're going to hand you over to just an ordinary traveler. At least ordinary, except during the month of August. She's a very charming young lady with shoulder-length, black, wavy hair and dark eyes, aged 19. Queen of the rapid transit system for a month. Miss Subways, alias Miss Joan Adamson.
Well, how does it feel to be the pin-up girl of the Subways, Joan? I may call you Joan, may I not?
Yes, do, Jack. Well, it's a great thrill, naturally. I never thought I'd get it, though.
Oh, I never had a moment's doubt.
The poster says, meet Miss Subways, art student at Hunter College, plugging for BA but would settle for MRS. Right.
Brooklyn-born Peggy Byrne plans to wed her childhood sweetheart, is studying to be an insurance broker. The last thing I ever wanted to be would be an insurance broker. But I thought that sounded great. And I got a lot of insurance information.
Well, I get on the subway, and the cards were probably up in nearly every car. And I thought, oh, dear, the photo was really pale. I mean, I'm a brown-skinned woman, not dark brown, but brown, and I almost look white. I said, could you darken it up some? And he did. Then that looked better.
People, you know, would stare at the poster, and they'd look down at me. Then they would stare at the poster and look down at me and stare at the poster, and finally they'd say, hi. Here you are, this long, tall, skinny girl with no butt, no boobs, and you're up there? My friends hated me, and I loved it.
There would always be commentary. Did you see Miss Subway? No, she's not too good looking. You know, we liked January, February better than her. Because they weren't necessarily beautiful women, you know. You wouldn't look at them all and say, well, that's a beauty. Of course, I was the exception. I was a star. Well, it was only 2 months, but it was great being a star.
Tell us, Joan, this Miss Subway's business, is there any future in it?
Well, I did hear of one girl who had 156 proposals of marriage and a present from a baker of a lemon meringue pie. And just a very few have got acting or modeling jobs. But I'm really more interested in what I'm doing.
And what is that?
Well, I'm majoring in Spanish at college, and I'd like to go into the export business.
Say, that's a very businesslike attitude for a beauty queen. Well, good luck in your subway riding, and goodbye, Joan Atkinson.
Why, thank you.
Peggy Byrne went on to a career in advertising. Enid Berkowitz worked as an artist. Sonora Celsi was a teacher. And Marcia Hocker married a diplomat and now hosts a jazz radio show. Thelma Peros, the first black Miss Subways, died earlier this year in Denver.
A book about the contest, Meet Miss Subways, comes out this month. And you can see photos of Miss Subways then and read about what they're doing now at our website, npr.org. Our story was produced by Samara Freemark for Radio Diaries, with help from Joe Richman and Ben Shapiro, and it was edited by Deborah George.